It's showtime!
Whoa, now that's camping.
Haven't gotten lost in the woods, have you?
Not again.
I think I broke something.
I've been tired of being the tram donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS.
You're listening to the Shank Outdoors Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Shank Outdoors. Hope you're having a great day. I'm your host, Sky. To kick this episode off, I want to ask you, have you heard of AOAE, Alberta Outdoor Adventure Expo? They had their first event back in 2021, early September long weekend to be exact. And you know what? This year, they're doing it again, 2022, September 3rd to 5th. If you haven't heard of it or haven't been, take a look at their website. It's definitely an event you want to go to. Hope to see you there, because I know I'm going. Let's get into the episode. The Rome Awning Room. Have you heard of it? Have you seen one? Do you even know what an awning room is? I never knew what an awning room was until I came across it. And then that totally made sense. You have your overland vehicle, or like us, we have our overland trailer, and you have the awning sticking on the side of it. Keep yourself out of the elements when it's raining. Keep yourself out of the sun. It's snowing. But why not have three or four walls on that thing and really enclose yourself? You can easier to change. Throw a heater in there. Keep yourself warm. Keep the bugs away in the summer. You know, it definitely has its pros. And, well, we got one for Christmas. We, family members pitched in and surprised us with one as a family gift for Christmas. And we love it. Now, I haven't used it in summer yet, but I was actually very surprised, especially on the quality. It has its own, even though it's connecting to your awning, it has its own ceiling. So when you're actually attaching it to your awning, you have your awning as your, we'll say your roof. And then now, instead of having a separation, like with your, if you were just to put on walls, let's say onto your awning, you have that gap that you have to attach to. So now wind or rain can flap in between the two. Well, not with the awning room, because it has its own roof or ceiling. So now you are enclosed, because it's got its four walls. You have two doors, a window, or I guess it would be three doors. Two doors. This one has two doors, one window. You have a removable floor. So for example, our first use of it was actually out winter camping on ice. And at the same time, me and the youngest went ice fishing. So didn't bring the floor with us. We left it at home, packed everything up, headed out, found a lake that we wanted to do, check out some ice fishing. And we actually, I don't remember what happened that day, but for whatever reason, we didn't get out till late. So it was in the evening, starting to get dark. By the time we got set up, it's barely light out. And drilled some holes, put down our lures while we tried to catch some dinner. Didn't catch anything, but was able to cook some dinner while our lures were down in the hole. And fired up the heated blanket with our solar system to warm up the bed. It was what, minus? I think when we went to bed, it was like minus 8. And then when we woke up the next morning, it was around minus 12. But anyways, the solar system held up very well. I was actually very surprised that I didn't kill the battery with running the heated blanket all night long. That was our only heating system, you would say. We didn't have a heater. That was what helped us stay warm in the trailer, which was great. Had no issues. And yeah, we just had a great time. Woke up in the morning, made some breakfast, and loaded up and went to a different lake and saw some fish. Didn't catch anything, but we did see, again, some pike at Devil's Lake. Met some local fishermen, and they were hooting and hollering on our build. We were actually pulling out on the ice, and never been to Devil's Lake before, so pulling on the ice, and we see these two fishermen hanging out, and we had the windows down, and they hollered at, they said something after I waved, and I didn't hear them, so then I stopped, and right when I got out, he's like, oh, I was joking, I'm like, joking about what? I'm like, sorry, I actually didn't hear you, that's why I got out of the truck. Ice was too loud, and the snow was too loud driving. And he's like, oh, he's like, I was saying that, you know, I might as well pack up and leave if, you know, when you're coming out on a rig with a rig like that. And we've got the truck, but we've got the overland trailer. And you don't typically see an overland trailer going out on a lake, a frozen lake, to do some ice fishing. So it was, we had a, you know, a good chuckle over that. And they couldn't believe that I actually built that trailer out of our garage during 2021. So that was pretty cool. You know, you appreciate what you've built, but to hear outsiders that you don't know at all to be, you know, impressed and giving great feedback on their thoughts on something that you've built, feels really good. It really does. So that was really cool. So then we went and again found a spot, drilled some more holes, set up the awning and the Rome awning room. It was, by this time, it started to warm up from what we saw at minus 12 in the morning. And, but it did get super windy. So, and that's the nice thing with the Rome awning room is that the quality with those high winds had no issue. I staked it down in the ice. I had some, I actually had two different bags of ratchet straps in the truck that I used for weight to help hold down the awning where the poles are. With so that was all held down, pegged. And yeah, you know, there of course there's going to be some flapping, but for how high those winds were and being, I don't really think the Rome Adventure, you know, planned on making their awning room for winter use. I could be wrong, but I really doubt it, because everywhere you see them being used is summer, fall, spring, but mainly in the summer use, protecting yourself from bugs. And yeah, here we are using it in minus 12 degrees Celsius now, not Fahrenheit, Celsius weather, and having no issues. The one thing now, because it's basically built for a vehicle. It's not built to be used with a trailer. And I say that because of the way they built the door that goes against what you've installed it into, like against. So the main door is typically the whole wall, and the way it unzips though is like an arch, and it doesn't go all the way to the floor. You have a few inches of edging, and so typically that would be where your where the bottom of your vehicle is, lower than your bottom of your vehicle, but you get what I'm trying to say. Then a little bit higher, you'd have your sidestep, and then you have your vehicle doors. And it's built so that you can open your vehicle doors and have access, or you can zip up that door and then it's just be, you're just totally enclosed. Well, with our trailer, because of where I have the door and we have the wheel wells that are protruding from the trailer, the door can't go up fully against the trailer. Like the awning room can't go up the trailer, because if I want to have access to the trailer door, I can't, the awning hit, the one side of the awning room hits the fender. So it can't actually go smoothly up against. But at the end of the day, that's such a small complaint and worry on my end because of how I'm using it, that it, like, the pros over exceeds. Like, it just, I'm very impressed with the Rome awning room. Very happy with it. Can't wait to use it this spring and summer. Especially that, you know, I never thought of using my overland trailer to go ice fishing, but it was super cool. You know, you have a huge 8-foot by 6.5-foot room that you're now totally enclosed, so you can see down the hole during the day. Then you turn around, depending how you have your hole set up. You have, we literally had our table set up with our cooktop. Turn a little bit more, you have the trailer door, and boom, open the trailer door. You could be sitting in there comfy, waiting for your lure to move with something on the end, or you can go to bed, you know, or the, you know, like my youngest, he sat in there to warm up for a little bit. I also then put him to bed early, and he was right there, and I'm out ice fishing right beside, out of the elements, and just having a good time. And I never thought about using the Rome awning room like that until we actually had it. And I see us using it a lot, whether it's winter, spring, summer, fall. So, because like in the summertime, I know the wife's excited, because then instead of trying to change in our little overland trailer or the pop-up shower room, she can just kick everyone up, make sure there's nobody in the awning room, and have that huge space to get changed or just have some privacy if you're with a bigger group. And then when you want, you can open up the window that has the mosquito netting and open up the doors, because they also have their own mosquito netting, so you don't have to let any bugs in. And it has a floor, so you can zip up the floor, take off your shoes outside, and now instead of tracking in anything into the trailer, you're doing it outside of the awning room, now going into the awning room, doing whatever there, then finally going into the trailer. That's the thought of it anyways. Haven't actually done it because we've only used it in winter. So, you know, that was the neatest overland trip that I've done so far in the trailer, was heading across a province. You know, we drove an hour and a half from home, almost 2 hours, and just me and our 6-year-old, and yeah, did overnight camping on ice. Ice fishing. I've been on ice overnight. I can't actually say I've camped in a trailer on ice. I've stayed in a nice shack overnight many times, especially in my younger years as a teenager and even younger than that. You know, big wood stove, multiple huge, you know, nice huge shacks that can, I think we were able to fit 8 people or something like that in that thing. And yeah, you use the bench as a bed, and you have that wood stove just a roaring, and you have a good time, stay overnight, wake up in the morning, do some more fishing, do whatever. But staying in an actual trailer, that was a different experience of all, and just, I can't wait to do it again. Hopefully we'll do it before the ice actually melts. So many things going on, you know, finally finished the diesel heater. Yeah, I know there, you know, if you haven't listened to it, there's the diesel heater hell. In diesel heater hell, I think is what I call the episode, because of having issues right off the bat out of the box with this diesel heater. And with all the research doing before of buying this diesel heater, there was the ups and downs. People were saying good things, and then there was the bad things, and everyone had their own, you know, you couldn't actually get a good, it was either you're lucky, and if you're not lucky, you're getting the worst of the worst right off the bat. And at least with that, there's many people out there that have, you know, kind of an idea of what to look for if you're having a certain issue. So that's definitely nice. But that's why I went and bought locally. You know, I, instead of buying on eBay or Amazon, I saw one locally that seemed to, at that time, because it was the Christmas period and people, you know, it seemed like they raised their prices over on Amazon. That was like, perfect, you know, great price. Buying locally, shouldn't have an issue. Well, had an issue right off the bat with the controller. Didn't know it was a controller at first because it was half working, half not. Found out it after buying, you know, going in and trying to get a replacement, I had to wait a month to get a replacement. Maybe not a month, but it felt like a month. But at the same time, while I was waiting for the replacement by the manufacturer that I purchased it from, I went and ordered, I was able to get a Amazon controller, same controller, within a couple days shipping, and boom, worked. But then, that's where I ended up on the podcast, is I then had a fuel leak. And I thought I was stupid and didn't have one of my fuel lines connected properly because it was sitting on the bench, hadn't actually used it yet. But here we go. I have a little tiny leak on the lid because I had the lid open, and just a little bit of fuel you could see. And luckily I saw it, because that could have caused a huge hazard if I wouldn't have seen it, tried using it, or doing my first test. And here we have fuel dripping at the bottom of the heater and eventually igniting. So I go out and buy more fuel line, and did I buy more fuel? No, I actually had spare fuel line. So I replace that piece of fuel line and leave it for a couple days to see if it's leaking. Sure enough, it's leaking. I'm like, what the hell? I just replaced the line. Like, okay, well, maybe this crimp isn't getting tight enough. So I'll replace that. Replace that. Still leaking. I have no hair to pull out, but I'd be pulling out my hair if I had some. And, well, at the end of the day, you know, when I thought I'd fixed it with that crimp. Switched it out. It wasn't leaking as bad then, but I hadn't started it. So there wasn't much fuel in the pump. And that's where I realized where my issue was. Is that because I had used it prior, there was all that fuel still sitting in the pump and the rest of the line because I had purged it. And then it sat there because I had to wait for the controller to actually... I purged it with the new controller. That's how I knew everything worked. And then I didn't get a chance to actually go out and test it. So it just sat in the garage on the table where I was working on it. And that's when the fuel puddle arrived. So now I figure I can finish installing everything because I've fixed this fuel leak. And lo and behold, I suddenly realized that because I cleaned it up all nice so that I could really see if there's a leak while I'm working, since I just put on the new crimp, and sure enough, a little drop of fuel drops. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So then I'm, you know, playing around that area on the fuel pump and the hose, trying to see, okay, did I break the hose again? Like I first originally thought, or is it the fuel pump? Well, it turns out there's a little seam on the fuel pump where the female nozzle is, where the line goes on, connects to, and it's seeping out of this little seam. Just poorly made fuel pump. And I probably spent an hour or more confirming that it was leaking from there. You know, I'm wiping it and going, okay, you know, with a flashlight, then I'm using paper towel just to see if it, if the paper towel suddenly soaks up a little bit at that spot, no, okay, move a little bit more. Oh, you know, and it was just one little spot. So then I look at, all right, I haven't even received my replacement controller yet. Now I got to go back to them and tell them that my fuel pump's leaking. Like, just kill me now. And so then I looked, okay, well, I got a cheap controller off of Amazon that did work right off the bat. Maybe I can get a fuel pump. Fuel pump is $50 to $100. That's the last thing I want to spend on something that I haven't even been able to use right out of the box. So I did what every do-it-yourselfer does. I repaired it myself. I went and got JB Weld. JB welded. I cleaned it all out while I was at work. And JB welded it so it could sit all day at work to half cure. And then brought it home so it could then fully cure over the weekend while we went out to the lake. And now installed it. And fingers crossed. I finally just finished installing the thing. Before I even have done anything else, I wanted to finish up the electrical. So I finally randomly came across some waterproof plugs and purchased those at a great price, a whole kit. So I could do, because the controller is three wires. The power, of course, is your positive negative, so two wires. And so I have two different plugs that I can plug right into the exterior of the case while the case is closed and run the power to the battery and run the controller up to the rooftop tent or into the trailer to control my heat. So that's all wired, tested, taped. Now I just got to put fuel back into the fuel tank because I ripped that out. So I had to drain all the fuel. And that was the other thing. I dumped accidentally. I thought I had all the fuel out of the fuel tank. So I literally closed the lid when I was working on the pump or going to work on the pump. I had pulled out the pump, closed the lid to move the whole case. And there's enough, there's a little bit of fuel still in the, that it went all over inside the case. So now I had to tear that all apart, end up getting it inside the plastic housing of the actual diesel heater. So I had to take the housing off, plastic housing off of the diesel heater, clean all that up. So that was fun. And yeah, so now I just got to put the diesel fuel into the fuel container and prime the pump, test it. And I guess just let it sit for a couple days and see if it starts to leak. But it shouldn't, you know. JB Weld is one hell of a sealant. You know, if it can, it's supposed to not, you know, fuel or that any chemical is not really supposed to affect it, especially fuel. There's many people that have used it for fuel, repairing fuel tanks. As long as the fuel tank was properly prepped before using JB Weld. You can't have fuel pouring out and try to use JB Weld, right? So fuel was totally taken out of the fuel pump, cleaned up, sanded down around the edges of where I need to put JB Weld, let it fully cure, still hasn't had fuel in it, and should be ready to go. And I really hope it is, because Jesus. And then I've got another project on the go. And that is a portable fireplace or fire pit or, yeah, we'll call it a portable fire pit. It's going to run off of propane so that when there's a fire ban on, excuse me, you know, I'm not getting a fine, not, you know, starting fires, can have a nice controlled fire to still enjoy the campsite and enjoy your night out. And yeah, so still playing with the design. You know, it's nothing, it's new to me, but you can find it all over the internet of other DIY builders. But I'm doing mine a little different than everyone else. You can buy a similar setup from the States, but you're looking at so you're looking with the newer version that actually has smaller legs than what I'm doing, but has legs, you know, you're looking at anywhere around $300 to $400. And I'm pretty sure with the new model and then shipping the US dollar to Canadian dollar, you're looking close to $400, which is crazy, mind-blowing. Now, I know there's a lot of fire portable fire pits that are that price and higher, but with the can that I already have and the money that I'm putting into it is a fraction of that price. As long as the bill goes as well as the trailer did, you know, which I don't see why it won't, I'll have saved a lot of money. And it's a different design than everybody else. So I'm gonna build it up. I'll announce it to you guys, throw up some photos on social media, and if anyone's interested, I have other cans and can provide that fireplace at a reasonable price compared to what you're buying elsewhere because of shipping, conversion. Super excited about that. Hopefully we'll get that done this week. I was supposed to be working on it tonight and decided, you know what, I'm going to come on here, put out a couple episodes so I can keep them going every week and kind of get ahead of the ball. And then I can then work on that project and any other projects that come into my brain. And I'm sure you guys know what that's like. If you build your own stuff or work on your own things, you suddenly have one idea, start working on it, and then suddenly either something goes wrong or you're waiting on something. So then, oh, look at another shiny thing. So then you start building that. Now you've got projects all over the place, whether they're big or small. And you're trying to record a podcast. Fingers crossed, I'll actually have a co-host coming on soon. So just got to line up some times. But we'll kick out some episodes here of just little old me. And it'd be really cool to have a host on here. Kind of, you know, more of a conversation back and forth. And just getting their thoughts on different topics. I think it'll make the podcast more enjoyable for you guys if you don't already enjoy it. And if you already enjoy it, then you're just going to enjoy it that much more with another person on here. That's where we're at this week. So stay tuned for the upcoming build and see some photos. Fingers crossed on the diesel heater. If you have an awning and are looking at an awning room, definitely check out Rome Adventure, or Adventure to Rome, and check out their, you know, we've got the black 8 by 6.5, because that's the size of our awning. Great, great material, great setup, you know, definitely worth the money. Now, I got lucky and got it as a gift, but even if I didn't give it as a gift, I would be going out and getting it myself. Not a sponsor of them, just really enjoy the product. So, and I'm sure you will too. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to Shank Outdoors, and we'll see you in the next one. Keep dancing with it.
Everybody doesn't have a back, no.